Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Football Focus podcast. I'm your host, Steve Stokes, and today I'm joined by the regular crowd. Let's start off with On The Rob. Rob, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, mate. Good, yeah. Loving FIFA, loving life.
How's the weekend league been?
Right, so I'm playing New Gen for the first time in weekend league. I'm 7-3 and plenty of length in the team, plenty of lengthy boys. But yeah, all good. Same old same with FIFA, really. Just grinding, trying to learn it and just get better.
Dryside, how about you? How's your, how's your week been? But it's actually been a couple of weeks, hasn't it, with scheduling problems. How have things been going over there?
Yeah, everything's good. Still on FIFA, so we must be doing something right. Dipping in and out of teams, which we'll cover. But yeah, liking the gameplay, liking the game, liking the new features. So yeah, like I say, still playing, so still living the FIFA dream.
Turtle, you don't seem to know quite how to turn a light on.
The sun hasn't actually risen yet, Steve. That's the issue.
Ah, right, okay. How's it been? How's the coin pile looking, Spice?
It's been looking pretty good. Start of the week, lost about 1 million coins, actually, from Road to the Knockout. But since then, I've been enjoying FIFA. Similar to Rob, I'm stuck with New Gen, so I'm enjoying
it. You can't just gloss over that. You lost 1 million coins?
Yeah.
1 million?
It's like you lost your child in the supermarket. Yeah, I don't know where they went. I just... 1 minute they were there, next minute they were gone.
Yeah.
Check Tesco's, but you know what? We'll move on.
So I take it that 1 million coins is, that's, you know, to me, that would be, yeah, as the guys are saying, that would be the end of the world. But what sort of coin balance are you sitting on, Spice, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm still on a 2.7 mil.
Who did you get hurt on most?
Probably Lamar. I had a lot of him. I thought he was pretty cheap. It's the first L.
Yeah. I got done on him. Yeah,
I've actually had the opposite in terms of the Road to the Final Alive cards. I dipped in when they were at their lowest. And Packlock has been very kind to me on top of that as well. Somebody's looking down on me, like the FIFA gods are looking down on me. Yesterday, in a mega pack, untraded my mega pack from the season rewards, I got a tidy little Rule Breakers Calvin Phillips.
The Yorkshire Pearler, lovely.
Haven't used him, but the difficulty I have is he's walking into a dressing room that has Michael Essien in that position, who was also packed, untradeable.
Who packed Essien for you?
The game, FIFA.
Right. It wasn't like you didn't open it on a stream or someone sort of helped. It wasn't like On The Rob on Twitch, like kind of opened the pack for you.
Yeah.
No, don't worry about it. You're welcome.
I'm really pleased, Rob, that you've brought up the Twitch stream in connection with Packlock, because you packed somebody, didn't you, recently, fairly recently? I think it was N'Golo Kante, wasn't it? I happened to be watching your stream when you packed him, and I thought, based on that, we could play a little game. So what I want you guys to do is listen to this quick recording from Rob's stream, and the question that I want you to answer, Dryside, Spice, how many times can a man swear in 14 seconds? As I say, this is the context. He's just packed Kante on stream. 14-second clip. How many times can he swear? Dryside.
I have to guess, or I'm going to listen to the clip first.
Guess.
There's no point in doing a quiz if I play you that you'll know exactly how many times he's sworn when you've heard the clip, won't you?
Okay, so I'm just guessing?
Yeah, that's the idea of a quiz. Dryside.
Okay, good. Good game. And how long's the clip, sorry?
14 seconds.
14 seconds.
How many swear words can Rob fit into 14 seconds, having just packed Kante?
I'm going to go with 28.
28?
You do swear a lot.
Jesus, what?
You swear more than me, and I swear a lot.
So that would be one every half second. I'm just looking for what you think would be a reasonable number of times for an adult human being
for a normal person, yeah.
In a 14-second span.
So I'd say probably one would be like a normal nice amount for an intelligent person that wasn't dragged up.
I'd say one for an average person. For Rob, I'd say 12.
12.
Yes, mate.
Right. Okay. Well, let's have a listen to the clip and we'll see if you're right.
192 fucking bangers. Sexy motherfucker. Sexy, sexy motherfucker. That'll fucking do. Don't matter if you shit. does not fucking matter.
I don't know what to say.
Sorry, would be a start.
I'm glad my grandma and granddad don't watch the stream. Yeah. But mind you, people, you know, I get people say this like, oh, people who swear a lot, you know, they can't think of words. So do you know what I'll say to them people?
Bollocks.
Fuck off, yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, we do have to consider some fairly serious subject matter. And I want to urge listeners to stay with us through this because you may think it's a subject that's been talked to death. I've heard a lot of people talking about it. I've heard some very bad advice on it. I've heard some very bad takes on it from people who don't appear to have much experience of using it. What am I talking about? I'm talking about our favourite subject of the last few weeks, lengthy. Now, I know for a fact that both Rob and I have spent quite a lot of time getting to grips with lengthy, so to speak.
Jesus.
Trying to...
we have, Steve, yes.
Trying to understand it, trying out different players, trying out different tactics, trying out just finding out how it works. How about you guys, Dryside and Spice? Have you used many lengthy players? Is it something that you've consciously tried?
Yeah, I've been very aware of it. I have been using Lewandowski up top with whatever chem style to make him lengthy. Both my center backs are. I don't even truly understand it completely yet, and I'm glad I'm on the podcast so I can learn more about it.
You're in the right place, Spice.
But everyone says to use him, and I do notice a difference a little bit with someone like Lewandowski. So it's definitely something important.
Yeah, I'd probably back that up as well. I've used both Lewandowski and Haaland in the same team. And when I was using them, there's a noticeable difference in the play style without forcing anything. More so, I'd say, with Haaland. But just, I think, based on his physical, you guys have obviously gone a lot more in depth to it.
Absolutely. Rob, do you want to introduce to the people the concept of the Scandinavian Schlong twins?
The Nordic Schlong twins, yeah. Haaland and Team of the Week Soloth up front together, like a couple of beautiful, like a beautiful couple having a picnic in the Norwegian snow. Do you have picnics in snow? Anyway, yeah, Haaland and Soloff, unreal, absolutely unreal. So you taught me about lengthy boys, didn't you, Steve?
I did. I told you everything I know, Rob.
And I tell you what, it's so OP. It's so OP, and it's, yeah, I love it. It's made me enjoy new gen. And the goals I've scored with Soloff, Haaland, Hero Gomez, Rafael Leao's Team of the Week, it's unreal. Honestly... Same with fullbacks and centre backs. I just can tell how powerful it is on the game, and it is definitely.
Let's break it down first of all by looking at the attacking side of it. First thing to consider really is how do you get the most out of it? Because as I say, I've heard other people discussing it and basically dismissing it, saying that it's just a passing fad. It's not going to last. It's not that effective. I want to blow that out of the water completely because it's nonsense. It may not be the most effective meta at the moment, particularly as you get up through the higher divisions, perhaps, I want to say. But it's certainly effective, and it's a way of mixing up your playstyle, if nothing else. And if you're in the sort of mid to lower divisions, I think it's definitely effective because most people don't know how to deal with it. But, right, okay. One thing at a time, how do we get the most out of it, Rob?
So I absolutely breezed through Division 4 in Rivals with it, and the best way is just through balls and over the top through balls for the two strikers. And it honestly, the pace, like that Soloff and Gomez and Haaland, it's just unreal. They just don't get caught, and most of the time they finish. The problem with it, for me, is if people are playing deep and you're having to... These lengthy boys are still decent when you pass it into feet because they're stronger, but because the, like Soloff, for example, is like a bus, he's not nice on the ball. So through balls and over the tops, you'll score goals with any lengthy striker with a bit of pace, but where I don't like it is where you have to try and get a little bit technical in the box. That's where I struggle with it a bit.
You've gone slightly ahead of me there, Rob, because there's something that I want to come to in a short time, which is pin down defenders, something which is a new feature on New Generation, Next Generation. So that's something that I want to get to shortly.
This is interesting from somebody's point of view who used Zoroth in a different way, as in defeat, in the box, try and play off him. And it just didn't work for me at all. I actually thought he was pretty trash, to be honest. And then I saw people like you had said about Langley and play the ball over the top and three balls. And when I tried that, it was a different player. Sometimes you try and force the play where you lift a card and people say it's Langley and it'll get goals for you automatically. It doesn't happen. You've actually got to play a particular way. You can't just feed it into a player and say, right, you do the work. You're still in control. And when I changed that style and went for, you know, over the top three balls, it was night and day in terms of the player. Night and day.
Yeah, and it's something that I want to add here because I think it's important. Again, it's a criticism that I've seen of lengthy players and why people shouldn't use them. The criticism was that they only lend themselves to one style of play, and I kind of see what you're pointing to there. What I would say is that when I started using them and trying to understand it, I encountered the same problem, absolutely. And what I found is effective is that especially with the taller lengthy strikers, the ones that tend to have big long legs and peculiar animations really when it comes to skill moves, is that when you perform certain skill moves with them, they will get a speed boost as they exit. So if you can't get in behind a defense and you're kind of standing off the defender, if you execute certain skill moves, I'm not going to say which ones actually because it's going to be a video in my Foot Academy patron, but I'm sure you can experiment and figure them out for yourselves. If you perform certain skill moves, some are better than others, you will find that these tall, lengthy guys do get a speed boost. There's a reason for that, which, again, we're going to come on to in a second, and it's to do basically with acceleration not necessarily being that important a stat on lengthy players. Spice, anything you want to throw in there?
Not really. I think everyone covered it pretty well.
I want to cover a point. It's just in regards to this, and whether we talk about this or not, or whether I'm getting ahead of myself. If anybody's playing on old gen, what are the effects of that on old gen versus new gen?
Absolutely none. Lengthy accelerate styles don't apply on old gen.
Yeah.
What I'd say with that is players that are lengthy on new gen, I do not like at all on old. Haaland, Gomez, Lewandowski, Benzema, I just do not. They're not for me on old gen at all when I've played on it. It's just like the old FIFA.
It's a really fair point, actually, because it's crossed my mind. Is that where some of the criticism of lengthy players is coming from? Is it people that are trying them on old generation, finding that they're not effective at all because accelerate just isn't in that game mode?
Well, we're not just thinking off the top of our heads about that. Like, me and Rob experimented. Was it Friday we done it?
Yeah.
We played some games and you just couldn't play with them on old gen at all. You just couldn't use them. Like, I was cruising through the game.
Yeah, I had Soloff and Haaland up front and I had to basically keep subbing them off for, like, St. Max and Dan Juma and whoever else it was, just because maybe it's my play style, but they just don't work on old gen at all. You need quicker, better dribblers on old gen.
Yeah. And put into context, Steve, you'll know this after the last time you watched me and Rob play on new gen. I was 5-0 up at half time against Rob on old gen.
Right. Okay.
So that's how, and I wasn't playing any different.
Yeah.
Using the same team.
Let me chip in. It was 4-0 and I did win the game.
We had a tomato.
So, wait, you were 4-0 down and then you took off the lengthy guys on old gen and came back to win the game.
Yeah.
Wow. There we go. There's something in that. Right. Okay. Moving away from lengthy slightly. Rob, you mentioned what you do with these players when you can't get in behind. So I want to look at this new feature we've got this year called Pin Down Defenders, which again only applies to next generation. So if you're playing the PS4 or Xbox One version, forget about this. But yeah, it's what you're going to get with this is basically an animation where if you're advancing play quite slowly around the edge of the penalty area, your strong players will go into an animation where they will basically stand in front of the centre-back and effectively just shove their arse into them, which is, I mean, it's commonly done in football. I've got a mate who was a centre-half, played in the Championship, and the attacker that he always used to say he hated playing against was Dean Ashton, or Crew Striker, I think he went on to West Ham.
Yeah, he did.
but he always complained about him having a massive arse. And that was, you know, you'd expect a centre-back's nightmare to be pace or physicality or whatever. Jim would always say, it's Dean Ashton and his arse. There we go. A little anecdote. Rob, you're looking confused.
I enjoy a massive arse. I've never complained about it. I like
I should have known better.
Yeah, I like a man backing into me like that. So,
So we'll read the pitch notes. Players with target man player instruction or physically strong players, that's players with 85 plus strength, will now try to back into defenders when inside the box. You can make use of this behaviour to more effectively roll off the defender after receiving the ball or perform a layoff pass to a teammate. So that's basically what it does. Something that I think is slightly overlooked when it comes to the lengthy players is that in order for them to meet the criteria to become lengthy, they tend to be very strong. So most of these players will have 85 or above strength, so they will have this tendency to back into defenders when they are inside the area. And I would really encourage people to pay attention to this, to look for that animation if they are using lengthy strikers, because it is incredibly effective and you can get the ball into their feet. You can often just do a ball roll one way or the other, turn the defender and get a shot off. Or as it says in the pitch notes, you know, it's really easy to lay the ball off to perhaps a midfielder making a run. But is that something that you guys have noticed? Is it something that you might look for?
It's something I actually would use a lot. I used it a bit during the weekend. And the backing into the box and laying off to a midfielder is super effective, like you said. I had Luka Modric in my midfield, and he probably scored about 20 goals just using the outside of his boot from a layoff in that. It's so good.
There's a bigger picture to all this as well in terms of how people play FIFA, because they've always been driven to play the same way. But it's almost an educational piece where you're actually now able to change your style of play because the game will allow you, rather than force feed the same gameplay off top, over the top, over the top, three ball. A footballer's game, you might say.
I've not noticed it too much because I've been playing this sort of Neil Warnock hoofball where I've got no midfield. I'm just lumping it over the top to these lengthy boys. So
one of my favourite things about you incorporating this new play style into your game, Rob, is that your team name is Bielsa Ball. And this is the least Bielsa Ball tactic that you could ever use. You've been calling it Brexit Ball, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm a shell of a man. Well, this didn't happen, but let's pretend it did. People used to come in my stream and say, wow, the football you play is like peak Barcelona. And now they come in and say, it's like watching Tony Pulis playing FIFA. So, I'm not proud of it, but in fact, I'm upset, but it's working, so fuck it.
Want to pay the bills?
Yeah.
Before we leave the subject of lengthy, a couple more things that I'd like to bring up. First one is to look at the defensive side of things, because it is a factor when choosing defenders. It does make a difference. And there's, again, I want to come to you, Rob, because I know that we spent some time on this during the week. There's one player in particular, isn't there, that should be a horrible defender. He should be a horrible centre-back. You'd never use him. He's not fast enough. But we've both had success with him, me at centre-back. You've actually played him at right-back. Tell us a bit about it, Rob.
Sule. Road to the Damascus Sule, whatever it's called. Yeah, it's his agility is about 23 or something, but with him being lengthy, he catches attackers up and he just doesn't get caught. It just works. It's the same with, I used Ben Godfrey's gold card at left back as a joke with a shadow on, and he just was good because they just got that pace. So
Sule, to actually give you the stats, he's on his on his base card, he's got 71 pace.
Yeah.
But when you actually break that down, when you look at the split, he's got 63 acceleration and 83 sprint speed. So most people are going to look at that card, see the 63 acceleration, think, oh, you know, Van Dijk from other years, going to be too slow, going to get caught with over-the-top through balls. Sule is lengthy, and what happens when you apply a shadow to him is that the acceleration goes up to 71, still not great, but sprint speed goes up to 91. And I think it's safe to say that what we found, Rob, was that when you're using a lengthy defender, or a lengthy attacker for that matter, what tends to happen is that the lengthy accelerate type effectively completely overwrites the acceleration stat. And generally speaking, within a pace, a lengthy player will get up pretty much to their top sprint speed, maybe a couple of paces. So if you are using a lengthy defender or attacker for that matter, probably don't worry too much about their acceleration stat. Right, Rob?
Yeah, Sule worked at right back for me, definitely. The only reason I changed him out is just because of he's massive and his agility's not great, but he definitely, there was no time where I felt like he was badly exposed or, you know, he wasn't getting, and this is where I find it a bit daft, you know, he wouldn't get rinsed by a Raheem Sterling or a Vinny or Vinicius Jr. or whatever, and it's a bit silly really, but he was working at right back.
Yeah, and Ben Godfrey is the perfect example of another card like that. Base stats, 74 acceleration, 92 sprint speed. His accelerate is controlled, and you would have to put an architect on him to get him up to lengthy. But once you do, that 92 sprint speed is going to be plenty. And you're going to have a real ball-playing left-back there. You know, short passing of 99, long passing of 82. Could be a nice card.
Is that his gold one or his rule breakers?
That's the rule breakers.
Yeah.
Right, so that pretty much covers lengthy. Other than that, we've talked about Sirlot, I think is the correct pronunciation. Mario Gomez, you've given a shout out to, Rob. I've used Gomez too. Very good player with the lengthy accelerate. The final one that I want to mention is Rule Breakers Paulinho, which you can obtain in objectives. You've got to go into a Rule Breakers friendly to do it. I completed it on my Road to Glory account, and I've got to be honest, I found it an absolute ball ache. It's a game mode that I don't enjoy playing. There are no rules, first thing to emphasise. I've seen a lot of people when I was playing it, they were playing it as if it was a normal game. It's not. Take advantage of the fact that your players can't be caught offside. Take advantage of the fact that your players can't be sent off. Slide tackles are very important in it. But be careful when you're doing it because you can quickly develop some really bad habits with it. I think the idea is that it's meant to be fun. It is, to an extent. It's also incredibly triggering, I found, so watch out for that. But yeah, you get a Rule Breakers Paulinho at the end of it, and Paulinho is lengthy. So the obvious question is it worth the ball ache and the triggering to get this card? I would say that it is. I've used him in maybe half a dozen games so far. I've played him as the left attacking mid in a 4-2-3-1, and he certainly gets the job done. You're going to need to put a chem card on him to get him to lengthy accelerate. You'd need either marksman, architect, or anchor. I've gone for marksman to boost the finishing, and if you can get yourself through mentally intact, I would definitely recommend that you go and take a look at it. Bundesliga, Brazilian, the Brazilian nationality will come in handy as we get further through the game cycle, obviously as we get squad requirements for certain challenges. So yeah, it's tough, but I'd go and get him. What do you think, boys? Do you think you'll be going out of your way for that one?
Yeah, based on his stats, just as you said, I had it up here on FootWiz and looking with a marksman, is that not cram out to be your ideal partner to the likes of a Haaland? You got sprint speed 98, strength 96, jumping 92. That guy seems like an animal.
He is. I've been really impressed with him. The only place where I feel he's slightly lacking compared to the bigger guys is that when you do play the over-the-top through balls, the likes of Sirlot and Haaland, they have this animation with the long legs again where they'll just stick out a leg and trap it and just bring it down. He doesn't do that. A lot of them just tend to sail straight over him because he's 5'10" and he doesn't quite get the benefit of that. But all in all, for what we tend to call a free card, it's obviously not a free card. You've got to invest your time, and in this challenge, your emotions, trust me. You've got to invest them to get it. But at this stage of the game, I think it's a good card, and I think it'll come in handy in the future.
I'm too lazy to do that. I won't be doing it, I don't think. You know what I think about objective cards as well? Don't believe them. I don't believe.
Well, we're going to have to do something throughout this year to convince you otherwise, Rob.
Yeah.
You're going to have to find one.
Will you log into my account and do him for me, please, someone?
You mean, are you a cynic to think that these cards are nerfed once you've done them?
Just, I know I get a lot of stick off one of my mods. He tells me that he basically says objective cards are good, but I just don't think I ever see a player in a game that can you ever remember? I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but can you think of a card where you think, God, he was in everyone's team, he was phenomenal, he was, and it was an objective card? If I'm wrong, tell me.
I think there's, same as with any conspiracy theory, really, Rob, there's just about enough evidence to make it vaguely believable, isn't there? I've used cards that are objectives cards on my road to glory that have been really disappointing. I've also, I mean, going back to FIFA 21, I want to say my favourite card of FIFA 21 was an objectives card. Fair enough, it probably wasn't used in every team, but Future Stars, Renier.
Oh, the Brazilian. Was he Brazilian? And he's in the German league or something.
Yeah, it was just like a little Kaká. And that was a fantastic objectives card. Left stick dribbling for days. Big fun. But yeah, I take your point. And it kind of makes sense, doesn't it, that EA aren't going to hand out, you know, top tier cards. You're not going to get something that rivals Mbappe from playing 8 squad battles games, are you?
Or, no, you know, true. Yeah, I'm probably a bit too cynical with it.
Do you not find as well, from a psychological point of view, I find this anyway, like I done a card, I think it was last week, was it last week's objectives? It was the left back Gusens from Serie A.
Good card.
And he is absolutely fantastic, playing left back, comes up with goals, bombs up and down the wing, overlaps. But is that not a case of when you're using, you might know this, Stephen, you're using objective cards more, is that I tend to try a little bit harder with them because I know I've had to work for them. Rather than somebody off the market where I would maybe go, nah, he didn't do it for me, I'm selling them on. Where you know you have to work with these cards because it's what you've got and that's it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, from the angle that you've got some sort of emotional investment and therefore attachment to them. I've enjoyed Gosens. And I think as well, Rob, something to point out here is that if you haven't done Gosens, if you haven't done Paulinho, how are you ever going to find any evidence to challenge your idea that,
yeah,
they're,
right.
That they're nerfed?
You're right. And you've just reminded me, Gosens is the one that they've all been slapping me around the face with saying he's good. So, yeah, I'm probably full of shit, as always. But, yeah, I'll probably try and get stuck into a couple at some point.
I mean, you know, the problem is that time is tight. People only have so much time they can invest in the game. And I honestly didn't find it quick doing Paulinho either. I would say that it probably took me maybe a couple of hours. So
Gusens was fairly easy. I think he was squad battles and rivals. Knocked it out, no bother, because you're doing it anyway. When you get into those trickier friendlies where it's very sweaty, the no rules one.
Yeah.
Very sweaty.
You're going to need 3 Brazilians and 3 Bundesliga players in your squad as well, so that's a bit limiting. It's not pleasant. I didn't enjoy doing it, to be quite honest with you, but I'm pleased I did. I've got a great card at the end of it. But yeah, I really just want to warn people that if you are thinking of getting it, be prepared for a pretty hard time. Right, okay, let's move on to our next topic for discussion. This is going to be something where I think, Spice, you might have some strong views on this. I want to look at SBCs. I've seen quite a few people complaining that they're a little bit overpriced, and I tend to agree with this myself, I think. And it seems that because the advanced SBCs that we had at the start of the cycle, they now give untradeable packs. So talking about the sort of hybrid leagues, hybrid nations, that sort of thing. And so do many other kind of novelty SBCs that pop up from week to week. They're also giving out untradeable packs. Division rivals rewards are not necessarily that fantastic, especially down towards the bottom middle where most players are. And it's basically just pretty difficult this year, I think. People are saying that they're struggling to generate coins and fodder. Spice, I was wondering what your thoughts on that are.
Yeah, the SBCs are pretty bad in terms of value usually. Even just the Alaba that came out yesterday, I thought he was a little too expensive, especially when you have, you know, Rudiger that's 100k. You have that Tomori in form, it's 170k. So when SBCs are, you know, 300k at the start of the game and people are already struggling, it just, a lot of them have been pretty poor. I can't say that there's been a single one that's enticed me aside from maybe like the Sterling ones to watch. I mean, have you done any SBCs player wise?
I have done absolutely zero SBCs. I was tempted briefly by Gakpo, but I thought, am I really going to be using that card 2 months from now? And the answer is clearly no. The only two cards that I'd be interested in that I think may have a chance of being in my team at Christmas would be Alaba, as you mentioned, Spice, and Player of the Month, Valverde. But when you look at the prices, I mean, as you kind of alluded to there, Alaba is currently going for 314,000 and Valverde 209,000. And it's not just the fact that these cards are expensive, they're also untradeable, obviously. So I found it very difficult to be enticed by any of the SBCs so far. What about you guys?
I was going to say, I did Kessie and he's absolutely brilliant and he's going to get a plus two soon. I did Thiago Silva, he's fantastic. And then I did the two Leeds cards, Harrison and Rodrigo, who found a bit meh, a little bit. I don't know, I probably need to try them a bit more, but they just seem a little bit... Well, I had to do them because the Leeds, didn't I? So.
Yeah, I can understand doing the Leeds cards. In relation to the other two, perhaps less so Kessie, but more so Thiago Silva, how long do you think he's going to be in your team?
Yeah, that's the question. I love Gerald Pique. Leggy Gerald, as we call him on the stream, and he's already tempting me. But this Thiago Silva, probably, I don't know.
Commonly known as Shakira's husband, isn't he? Or is that sexist?
They've split up, I think.
Yeah.
Have they?
Yeah. My 10-year-old told me they split up.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Didn't he?
Oh, well.
I'm sure he did the dirty, as you do on Shakira, you know. Yeah,
my 10-year-old told me that he. No, we're not saying this is true or not. But my 10-year-old told me he'd slept with another woman.
Your 10-year-old's pretty adept with current affairs, isn't he?
Well, that's why I brought him up, so I don't have to watch the news. So he just gives me quick snippets.
We're not talking about what your 11-year-old learned this week, Rob.
Oh God, no, God no. Move on, please.
if anybody wants to know, check out Rob's archived streams on Twitch. Out on the Rob, there's quite an amusing story in there, but probably not suitable for this, for this podcast.
No,
right. So, Dryside.
Yes, I've done two. One who's very good. One average. The one that's very good, and I think he will improve, is Sterling, who I've had in years gone by, and he's always been that kind of style of player that I like: quick, nimble, skillful in terms of the ways. I just love his animations in FIFA. So realistic. So one of the only players, maybe outside of Haaland now, but has a really good kind of animation about him, and the fact that he ripped Robin Newman during the week.
He's not lengthy though, so I can't possibly have him in my team, sorry.
He's not lengthy, but he's very much suited the old gen, let's just say.
Yeah, he definitely did tear me apart, yeah.
And if he gets, I think he's one more at the minute, one more away from getting upgraded to an 87 or an 88. So the only reason why I've done that card is, yes, you're in. Now, I had fodder and I think I put maybe 60,000 coins into it, which I didn't mind for the fact that a card that you're not necessarily going to be stuck with in terms of its ability now, but where it can actually go to. So am I investing my coins in something that's maybe going to be improved in the future? Yes. Would I have done it if he was a base 86? Probably not. The other card I done was, again, similar, but it's also because I'm a Spurs fan, was I decided to call him Ricky. The Brazilian maestro, Richarlison. Again, if he gets upgrades, I think it could be fantastic. He plays striker, plays left wing as well, so he can adapt him whatever way you want. The problem with that is, I think I've used up all my position cards in my team or my club because I've swapped them about 10 times to suit my team.
That is a problem. It's not the biggest problem with the Richarlison SBC though, because it was an objectives card, Dryside.
Was it? So it just shows you. I done it so long ago. So yeah, just scrap that and stick with Sterling.
Right, Spice.
Yeah, so I probably won't do any SBCs either. For those who watch my channel, I never advise to do the SBCs because you always just lock your coins in untradeable players anyways. And the way the upgrades worked last year, those SBC cards tend to become useless after just a few weeks. So yeah.
Yeah, I'd definitely concur with that, Spice. I think that is always the question for me when it comes down to it with an SBC. Am I going to get value for money from this player in terms of will it be in my team for at least the next 3 months? If the answer is yes, then I'd consider doing it. If the answer is no, then I'd give it a wide berth. Unless, obviously, it was a Sunderland player. I can see the sentimental value in Rob doing the Leeds cards. Okay. Let's move swiftly on to our next topic for discussion, and that is the game mode Moments. Now, when Moments first appeared as a Madden player, where Moments have been around for a long time, I thought, great, you know, this is a really nice addition to Foot. I'm not so sure that it's working out too well now that it's been in the game for a while, and I wondered what you guys thought about it. I wondered if, is it a game mode that you're engaging with? Is it something that you think is just going to get left by the wayside? And if it is, how do you think it could be improved?
Yeah, I think I played it at the start, whenever we were doing the objective together previously, of dipping in and out of it, but I almost sickened myself with it. And what I mean by that is, you can go in, it's a very quick in and out mode where you go in, do a quick challenge, which maybe might even last you. Some of them can last as little as 30 seconds. Some can be a minute long. And the difficulty I have with that is, it's a 30-second challenge, but from start to finish, to go back out to the menus, it's a good couple of minutes. So if you're continually doing that, it feels like a bit of a grind.
The flow is terrible, isn't it? That you can't just, you can't complete one moment and then go straight into the next one. You've got to come back out and I feel that.
Now, one benefit, and I've been crying out for this for years on Ultimate Team, is that when you do the objective, it actually indicates it at the top right of your screen. So you know you've completed that part of, when you're one of three, let's say, it ticks the box. So that part's fantastic. That should be across all of those kind of objectives, even in-game when you're doing rivals. So that's a good point. But what I mean by sicking myself with it is that I completed all of them. I think I collected, maybe at that time, there's more have been added because it's live, but I think I maybe completed 80. And after doing 80, it really, like, I was like, I had three Sunday dinners, one after the other. And the rewards, once you do the rewards, the big reward at the end. So I received a Jumbo Premium player pack and didn't deliver anything at that point. I think that's the one where you get the sucker punch to the gut to think, I've just wasted a lot of time. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not down on it. I do think it's a good addition, but use it. Any advice I would give is use it sparingly. Don't spend 5 hours doing it because you will sicken yourself, like anything.
I agree with Dryside as well that the problem with the mode is the rewards aren't good enough, and I feel some of the objectives are kind of repetitive. I feel like we're doing the same thing, score a goal, score a goal, score a goal, score four goals, like it just becomes a chore. I guess the way to improve it would just be add more rewards. I mean, we get these new challenges for the promo, but there's no reward like related to the promo at all.
Rob, do you know what moments are?
Me and you have had some special moments, Steve. I know that. That's all I know, really. I've not touched it, I'll be honest with you. I've not even opened it once. I need to, but yeah, I haven't dabbled with it yet. I've been too busy sweating rivals and champs and SPCs and all the other stuff.
I think where they've really missed a trick here is there's nothing to draw you in there, nothing unique really, apart from if you want a Ted Lasso or Coach Beard manager card. Perhaps if you could earn unique players in there, or you could even, you know, earn other unique managers, maybe if you can get a Ted Lasso manager icon, Sir Alex Ferguson or something, you know, and just some reason for people to think, okay, I want to get this content, and there's only one way I can access that content, and it's by playing moments. And that's the way that it works in Madden. You earn the stars and redeem them in exchange for unique players that are up with the power curve as well. Right, okay, that pretty much wraps it up for this week's episode, except one other final point of business, a very important one. We've been running a giveaway competition on Twitter where the prize is 5,900 FIFA points. And we have drawn the winner. Now, the winner has a Twitter handle. Quite impressive, really. I'd like to think that we're the only podcast that could attract this kind of listener. The winner of the 5,900 FIFA points is Eddie Sideboard.
Go on, Eddie.
Great name. Good lad, Eddie. Yeah, so congratulations. Apparently, you spend your time watching your draws and Barcelona. So, you can have some fun watching your draws, Barcelona, and hopefully packing some great players. I'll be DMing you. Let me know which platform you're on, and we'll get those 5,900 FIFA points to you. Right, guys, where can we all find each other?
You can find me on Twitter at DrysideMiami, which is the only place I home or reside online.
I'm on the Rob on Twitch, on the Rob on Twitter, and on the Rob 9 on TikTok because some bastard stole on the Rob. So
some robbing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Before we move on to Spice as well, I have got to encourage people that if you do want to know the story about what Rob's 11-year-old son came up to him and said that he'd learned about during the week, it is pretty funny, but I'm really not going to go into it here. But yeah, check out the archive videos. Spice, how about you?
You can find me on YouTube at Spice and at FootSpice on Twitter, and also in the Football Focus Discord.
Absolutely. And if you would like to join the Football Focus Discord, I will be posting a link in the show notes. You can follow the pod on Twitter at the Football Focus. And if for any reason you'd like to follow me, you can find me on Twitter at the Foot Coach. All right, that's it. We'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Adios.
Another sad ending. Hey. Right, I'll stop my audacity.